Prime Minister Scott Morrison has dismissed criticism that he delayed saying that gay people would not go to hell. He was asked the question yesterday following comments by rugby star Israel Folau. And he's hit out at Bill Shorten today, saying the Labor leader's attempt to bring religion into the campaign was grubby.
It is not my view that that's the case. And, you know, my faith is about that God's love is for everybody. That's what I've always believed. I found it very disappointing that without even prompting, he sought to try and politicise this and seek to exploit opportunity for it. I thought that was very disappointing, and I don't think that should have a place in this election campaign. People's faith are people's faith, and you know, I'm not running for Pope, I'm running for Prime Minister. And so, you know, theological questions, you can leave at the ceremony.
I spoke to Labor frontbencher Ed Husic a short time ago on ABC News about his response to the Prime Minister's comments.
Well, I think in any other given day, we obviously are parliamentarians, not theologians, and you could understand that point. But the reality is, in this election campaign, religion has tended to enter in to the discussion and in not the ways that really it should. You know, we've had candidates making observations about religion, particularly from some very conservative corners. I hasten to add, not all Liberals are like this, but there are some Liberals that have tried to inject religion in a way that is quite divisive. And so it's understandable then that you're going to get questions on the campaign trail about whether other religious views are going to inject further division down the track between people. And for the Prime Minister to then try and take a swipe at Bill Shorten in the way that he did, you know, I think he's got some bigger issues that he needs to deal with in his own crew rather than taking shots at Bill Shorten.
Are you disappointed the Liberal Party is standing by their candidate in Greenway who shared anti-gay and anti-Muslim Facebook posts?
Absolutely. And I mean, I once stood as a candidate for that seat in Greenway 15 years ago, and I had material distributed against me on the basis of my faith. Scott Morrison was the state director at the time. One of my criticisms of him was that he didn't take a leadership stand and condemn it. And you know, at any point straight after the election had condemned it, because it happened relatively late, only a couple of days out from the campaign, well before social media had took hold and could have ventilated these type of things. But the reality is, you need to speak up and act decisively on this. He has said, you know, what you walk past is the standard you set, or words to that effect. And the weird thing is, I know this Liberal candidate. You know, he is friendly and effusive to me in person, and yet I'm stunned to learn he's sharing posts that are quite derogatory of people who share my faith. And I'm thinking, you're one thing to my face, and you're another thing online, and you're trying to represent a very diverse community. It's unacceptable, and quite frankly, once a state director, now a prime minister, he should be showing leadership in both instances, and he should be saying that this candidate is disendorsed.
It's interesting you say that, because after Christchurch, there has been a different tone in the debate, but you're suggesting it's not different enough.
Well, I think you're seeking to win the confidence of an electorate and to be able to say that you will represent them all faithfully, and regardless of their political views or their religious views, and yet you're sharing material that's quite divisive. I mean, you have to ask a question about, you know, where is your motivation? What will you do if you become the MP? Now, Michelle Rowland is quite active in the local community as the member for Greenway. She's always working to bring various groups of a very multicultural and diverse community, as is mine next door to her, together. And to speak up for them and to work with them. That is a standard right there. You know, Michelle is not sharing posts like what we've had with the Liberal candidate in the area who is seeking to represent the same community. It's inconceivable that he can remain as a candidate.
It's interesting you make this point, because his argument is he denounces these ideas and that he doesn't have them anymore. He had them when he was standing with another political party. Isn't it okay for people to change their views? Where's the role or right for reconciliation in this process?
Well, I do think it is important. I absolutely do think it's important to have at some point that measure of reconciliation. But, you know, this is, in this case, claiming just because you're representing a different political party that those views don't represent you anymore. It's not because in your own mind you've reconciled. It's because in this case, dare I say, the person's been caught out. And it was reprehensible then, it's reprehensible now, regardless of what party you represent. And we just can't have that. Like, people who want to stand to represent communities and want to be in a position where they are trying to bring communities together, I mean, how you hold those positions, in my mind, I can't see, you know, you use the term reconcile, I can't reconcile in my mind how you can do that.
The last time we spoke, Ed Husic, you were having trouble getting your ads on Facebook. Has that changed?
Oh, finally. It's finally changed. We've had a few hiccups along the way, but I can say that, well, my parents always observed in me a degree of stubbornness that has served me well in my later years, and it certainly has in this case.
Okay. I'm imagining not Clive Palmer-esque kind of bombing of the internet, but you are clearly spending some money advertising yourself.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity this campaign because it's because of the very issues you've raised in trying to get that out there. But being able to, particularly in your own area, talk about the things that you care about and the things that you're working on. And with the changing media landscape, I mean, suburban newspapers now, or metro newspapers, are a disappearing creature. And social media platforms are probably the few ways that you can communicate to a broad level in a community. I think this is in part prompted what you've seen with the ACCC and the Digital Platforms Inquiry. And it goes to a point you and I have previously discussed about the power that exists in a lot of these platforms now. And in my own case, you know, I did wonder, you know, aloud about whether or not critics, and there has been some instances where critics have found it harder going on platforms. It is a reminder that we need to have checks and balances in place when you have a powerful social media platform that can influence public life in the way they do.
Labor's pledged to exempt tech startups from ATO efforts to claw back about $4 billion in research and development incentives that were wrongly claimed. Why have you decided to do that?
Well, I just have to make a clarifying point here. The research, the R&D tax incentive is very important to spur on innovation, particularly with startups. It's one of the biggest things that they value in terms of government support. If there are people misusing that incentive, we have said by all means, and I have said on the public record, we need to burn the rorters out of the system. So that's absolutely clear. But what's happened is probably, and what a lot of startups have been saying to me, is that after the claims have been approved, there's been then an audit process come back in and a doubt raised about whether or not they've done the right thing when they believe they absolutely have. And the impact of that on making investors second guess whether or not they should be maintaining their support for a company that might be doing some great work and creating new jobs and creating economic value for us is a, you know, that is a thing to be concerned about. And what we've said is where there have been some particular instances where we think that there's been a particularly heavy-handed approach given, we want to review the decisions that have been made to ensure that we are not crueling innovative activity in Australia, but at the same time knowing we've got to defend the taxpayer and we can't have rorters misusing the system.
Kim Carr wants, he's another Labor frontbencher to be clear, mm-hmm. a review of the processes to make sure bureaucrats aren't overstepping the mark. Mm. What's the point of a review if you've already identified your outcome?
Because we need to ensure that the processes that are being applied, either in the initial decision-making process and then the review of that process by the same bodies, yeah, how those are operating. And this is not the first time this has been raised. You know, a few years ago, when then Minister Kelly O'Dwyer, I needed to approach to say that, you know, the sector, the startup sector, the tech sector in Australia, was concerned about the way in which this was being done and the lack of consultation. To Kelly O'Dwyer's great credit, she took that on board and ensured the representatives of the sector were involved in the industry consultative bodies that, you know, gave the feedback to the ATO and Oz Industry about this. The concern has been that the same sort of approach to consultation hasn't happened this time. And we've got some big firms, like Airtasker, genuinely worried about what this does to them and their investors. If it, you know, pulls the handbrake on investment decisions to support the growth of Australian companies. What we're talking about is homegrown Australian companies, small firms that had their, that it was approved that they could claim those incentives, and then sometime later Someone's gone back and decided to audit what was believed to be legitimate claims.
Just finally, it's emerged that the Coalition's housing policy announced at the launch wasn't costed or run through Cabinet. Much of the detail is still unclear. Should Labor have looked at this a little more closely before you signed on to it, given now it's a bipartisan policy?
We've been saying for years, housing affordability, a big issue. We have been making the case that we need to change the approach that's given the support that's provided to investors to go and buy their seventh home when first homeowners or want to be homeowners are struggling to be able to compete against investors that are scooping up homes and having a tax concession to help them in the process. We have been making the case solidly for years. So we will be interested in ideas. Regardless of where they come from, if they're good ideas, we'll take them on board. This is a modest proposal in the scheme of things. In terms of the loans, the number of loans that would be supported relative to the rest of the housing market, relatively slow. So we've been small, I should say. So we've been prepared to take that on board. But again, we believe that the thrust of a lot of our policies are such that they will be of great assistance to particularly first home buyers, and while some investors will be displeased that they can't buy existing homes, they can direct their investment effort to new properties, new homes, and ensure that we've got growth in housing stock.
Ed Husic, see you on the other side of Australia Votes when we know an outcome. Thanks for coming on.
Good on you.